Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Schnozberries really taste like schnozberries.
In my schnozberry, you know what I mean?
I fucking hate Gene Wilder.
Really?
It doesn't do anything for me. Hey, you know what? I'll take that back. Hate's a strong word. He just does nothing for me. Except for you lose, good day, sir. That's hilarious. Yeah. But
I'm actually surprised that we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I'm surprised at the fact that you do not like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I didn't like it when I was a kid.
I always just see that like right up your alley. Maybe it's just because Augustus Gloop gets killed off really early, and that was the kid you most related to.
I didn't relate to Augustus Gloop. I was chubby as a kid. I wasn't a super fat kid.
You weren't a fatty.
I wasn't a huge fatty. I mean, I was always a fatty, but not that kind of fatty.
Yeah, I was. I was never really a big fan of that one growing up, but like when I got older, I appreciated it a little more because it killed kids, and I think that's the reason. That's what I tended to relate to.
I mean, they didn't all die. One of them got turned into a television thing.
Well, he got really small, is what he got.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I'm sure he died.
He probably got stuck in someone's anus.
Ooh.
Doing porn.
The Mike TV.
They put their hand in the anus.
They were the Mike TV butt plug.
The Mike TV butt plug.
Yeah. What's her face? You know, Veruca Salt, she fucking gets burned to death. You know, Violet gets turned into a blueberry. Violet, you're turning Violet, Violet. Yeah,
I assume she was eaten by the
Oompa Loompas. Well, she got turned into an internet fetish, I'll tell you that.
Oh, well, I mean, that was already a fetish.
I mean, everything could be turned into an internet fetish, yeah, let's be fair.
That was already a fetish. It just happens to be like, someone with that fetish could watch that movie and be like, this is relevant to my interests.
That's my fetish. Augustus Gloop got caught in the... Got caught in the chocolate.
Yeah, he got like fired out of the sewer system.
Yeah, something like that.
They had to get to him before he went to like the shredder.
The incinerator.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
And it's like, we got to get there. Otherwise, he's going
to
burn.
Or that was Veruca. Veruca had to get to.
Veruca was the incinerator.
Yeah, all those children died horrible, horrible deaths. Except Charlie, who was like the worst of the bunch because he was poor. And we all hate poor people.
Now, the worst thing about that whole thing with Charlie
Grandpa Joe.
Aww. It's like, oh, I'm bedridden and sick. And it's like, oh, I feel sorry for Grandpa Joe and Charlie. And then he's like, you got a golden ticket to go somewhere for free? He jumps out of the bed and he's dancing
around.
Ooh,
yeah.
I feel great. And it's like,
you could have got up
and
like,
this is exactly what the conservatives are talking about.
Grandpa Joe is a leech on society, is what we're saying. Next caller.
Fucking Ayn Rand is just schlicking herself to it. Like,
Yeah, well, it's too bad she was taking public aid at that time, too.
Yeah.
All right.
And welcome to Political Talk with... we're looking at political and socioeconomic themes in films and music.
Next up, I got a golden ticket. Metaphor for welfare? I think so.
I think it's more a metaphor for rich children.
Yeah, rich children. Once again, I see nothing wrong with Willy Wonka hiring immigrants to work in his factory for below minimum wage.
Look, hiring them is not the problem. He's enslaving them.
I see no issues. He's giving them a better life.
He stole them from the jungle, and he put them in his factory.
I mean, seriously, they have a better mode. Let's just not go there. Because, you know what, it's satire on our end, but someone might take it as our actual beliefs. All right, let's get into some...
I don't have any strongly held beliefs, so...
I have many a strong belief. In case you can't tell, guys, I'm super hungover right now. And I drank well last night. I didn't get sloppy drunk, but I got drunk.
I was annihilated last night.
Yeah, see, I don't like getting annihilated because but it's like I was on cruise control. Like I hit that point and I was like, don't blow it, Joe. Don't blow it.
And then I was having gunfights in New Vegas, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, you're playing some Fallout?
Yes.
Those high-pressure gunfights in New Vegas.
It was,
click.
It's good stuff. No, I don't use
click.
I don't use Vats.
Yeah, we were talking about that we didn't really go too much into it because I wanted to talk about Fallout, and Pat was like, I hate Fallout, and that was kind of the end of it.
I mean, we know that Pat does not like quality games.
He loves his duty.
Duty.
Pat actually, okay, so we're going to talk about everything but games for a bit.
We're talking about games.
But Pat actually redeemed himself from Anthony's wedding. If you recall, a couple, you know, like almost a year ago, Pat was the usher at Anthony from Playon's wedding.
Uh-huh.
And he panicked. He couldn't handle it. There was too many people, not enough seats. He looked like that bear in the old Disney cartoons.
Super unprofessional.
Yeah, that bear in the old Disney cartoons where his head would go one way and his body would go the other way. But he
where did he go, George?
He was the usher at the wedding yesterday, and he did a good job. He was transporting people back and forth on a golf cart between the parking lot and the wedding. He was on top of things.
Would you say he was a paragon of excellence?
He was professional. Let's put it that way. I mean, if I needed someone to cart people around on a golf cart, it would be Pat.
All right.
Yes.
Good to know, I guess.
Steve is boxing his
boxing up some force of will cards.
His foul cards. So anyway, let's get into some gaming stuff. Big announcement from Games Workshop. Did you see this?
Is it the Space Marines? The
Space Marines? No.
Or the fantasy thing on July 4th?
Is it July 4th? I thought it was...
It might be July 5th. I don't know.
It was something like that. But yes, the big fantasy video thing that they were talking about for July. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, no.
You know what it is?
I just saw it and I was like, eh, fuck it, whatever.
You know what? Age of Sigmar. And I was like, ooh, what the fuck is this?
Is that the new edition?
Is this going to be the new... That's what I thought. I was like, is this the new edition? Are they bringing back Sigmar? Is this going to be like Warhammer? Is this going to be like 30K?
Is this like Warhammer Classic?
Oh, it's like the new Coke. It's like they give you 7th edition, 8th, sorry, they give you 8th edition fantasy so much that you're like, oh man, and then they give you classic fantasy, and you're like, this is so much better. Fuck all the flaws, I'd rather be playing this.
Just call it Warhammer Classic.
Warhammer Classic. No, it is July 4th, 2015.
Yeah, see, I thought so.
Yeah, they're intruding on our America Day.
America. Americans didn't go out to fight the Nazis on July 4th to have some British release a goddamn video game on July.
Next caller. We were, which is actually kind of funny because, well, I guess Games Workshop stores don't have to close on July 4th.
No.
No. But I mean, most places are going to be closed on July 4th.
I mean, July 4th is a Saturday this year, so.
Yeah.
Most places are just going to be closed.
Yeah.
Because it's Saturday.
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of a dumb release date for them, but the Age of Sigmar is going to be a fantasy style Space Hulk game, so they couldn't milk any more money off of Space Hulk.
I mean, Talisman already exists.
Yeah, it's I guess
it's got a bunch of expansions.
It does.
It's a popular game still. Yeah. Also, if you're interested in a dungeon crawl game, I'd be willing to bet there are plenty more options.
You know,
fucking Warhammer.
The difference is that
you're not going to get the $180 box of 10 models.
Yeah. Well, no, the main difference is that Talisman is a dungeon crawl, and Space Hulk's not really a dungeon crawl. Space Hulk is a PvP game more than a dungeon crawl. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Tyranids versus Space Marines in that game. I love Space Hulk. I love me some good Space Hulk.
I don't. It's going to be what, Sigmarites versus Kaos?
Kaos. Well, probably like Skaven or some stupid shit like that.
Whatever.
Like, you're in the sewers and you're going through, and they're like, oh god, there's instead of blips, they have, I don't know.
I mean, all the other dungeon crawl games are always like player versus DM setups. So.
Yeah, but this is going to be more 1v1, I imagine.
Well, I mean, you can do 1v1 on a lot of those games.
Yeah. I mean, Space Hulk is a fantastic system. I find no issues with the Space Hulk system.
I haven't played the new one.
You haven't? Well, it's the same as the old one, pretty much. Just updated, like, you know, components. Mm. And those components were gorgeous.
Is Overwatch still super good?
Yeah. I mean, it's not... It serves its purpose. But yes, Overwatch is good. I see nothing wrong with it. If they keep it... I mean, it's going to be expensive as fuck. It's going to be a $200 box set.
I mean, Assassinorium Exacto.
And yeah, there was like 21 models in that one. Half of them...
I thought it was 19 models.
Well, yeah, it's like something like 19 models. Only 4 of them were new. And
right.
That was like $120?
Yeah.
So this has got to be... If they do it the same level as Space Hulk with all new... Like, when they did all those... Like, we shit on Games Workshop a lot, but Space Hulk was the greatest buy. That was the last great buy from Games Workshop.
Yeah, everything after it's been just a blunder.
Yeah, I mean...
The boat game, the Assassinorium, this is going to fall in line with the rest of the blunders.
It might. I don't know, but I mean, that's what I'm saying, is if they put the level that they put into Space
And they could just re-release Battle of Five Armies and just print money.
It's not going to happen.
I know they're not going to, but they could just print that money.
You got really excited when that guy posted the cobblestone, the Lord of the Rings models.
I did. Yeah. I actually like those a lot.
The little 10 millimeter, yeah, because they released all of the Riders of Rohan. It was all like the missing races from that game, so you could actually get orcs and Riders of Rohan and all that shit.
Yeah.
Easterlings, probably. I don't know.
I saw that, and I was like, that's pretty sweet.
It's too bad it's Mark Copplestone, and Britain has the worst shipping, you know, rules of all time.
Yeah.
We're going to base it off percentage of weight. No, not even percentage of weight. We're going to base it off how much it costs. Percentage of how much it costs.
You didn't bring the boxes, did you?
Fuck. I totally forgot. God damn it. I'm drunk.
You blew it.
I did. Fuck. Sorry, James. Oh, God damn it.
Hopefully nothing in there is going to
inspire.
You know
what we should do? I think he said there's some, like snacks. So it probably will not expire. It crossed the seas.
Mm. Crossed the narrow sea.
Britain designs everything so it could be transported to the colonies. So we should do. Maybe I'll come over, like, sometime this week. We could do a video podcast of it.
Oh, nice.
Do something special for the YouTube fans.
Just record, we could do the, what is it, box opening?
Yeah. Nice. God damn it.
You know, we have to describe the box. We got a box here, you know, it's red.
Yeah. Fuck. And I totally had it on my kitchen table, like, ready to go. This is what I get for being hungover.
I did.
But anyway, the Games Workshop stuff, for Space Hulk, the Terminators were all brand new. Everything was a unique sculpt in there. I mean, it was a double sculpt of the Tyranid sprues, but the Tyranid sprues were all unique
cool
sculpts.
They were stocking and whatnot.
Yeah, so if they did something similar to that for Fantasy, which they probably won't, it'll probably be a re-release of sprues. Like, it'll be the Empire General, it'll be the Empire Wizard, and it'll be a bunch of fucking clan rats.
Yeah, I don't know.
From the Island of
Blood. They're just going to try and make a whole shit ton of money off of a really bad value.
Yeah. And
Do you remember when we were working at Workshop and, like, there was some stuff that was really expensive, but you could always be like, hey, you know what? This is a really good value. Like, this one. Buy that. You get this for essentially free. Now, their box sets, you just pay for everything, and you're paying the ridiculous, like, what is it? A squad of Space Marines and a Dreadnought is the new Battle Force Space Marines. It's one squad of Space Marines and a Dreadnought for £90. So that's... what? 140 bucks?
90 pounds. 45.
It's like 140 bucks.
135.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly what the
fucking conversion. I think it's like 150, 160 right now.
Yeah, I don't know what the exact conversion
Euros,
is.
Euros, man. Euros are where it's fucking at right now. Yeah. Holy shit, I've been buying the shit out of stuff. I've been milking that fucking... The euro is like at its lowest point in like of all time.
Very good.
Thank you, Greece. So I've been like ordering...
It's John Travolta.
It is John Travolta. Greece and Spain and Italy and all those other lazy fucking Mediterranean countries.
Tell me what he said. Tell me more.
You know what song I've had stuck in my head?
I need a lover who won't drive me crazy. I don't even know that song.
No, you don't know that one?
I mean, I know that's not in my repertoire.
Yeah, it's just been stuck in my head like on loop.
What about Roundabout?
Roundabout?
Roundabout.
By Rush?
No, it's Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, that's not been stuck in my head. What was I going to say? Where was I at?
Uhura?
No. God damn it. I had something. Oh, the Euro.
Yes.
Yeah, I was, I've been going, like, searching on European, like, minis games and RPGs and everything else, just getting everything at, like, the cheapest it's ever been. It's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it to any of our American listeners. Go look up stuff from, like, Spain and everything. It's, like, so cheap. Shipping is still balls, but whatever. It's better than shipping it from Britain, let me tell you that. Fuck you, you goddamn UK. Your system is awful. Awful.
It's funny.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some Kickstarter stuff. Why not? We haven't talked about Kickstarter in a while.
A bunch of zombie games?
A bunch of Steve is anti-Kickstarter right now.
You got a pirate zombie game, you got a ninja zombie game. No, it's just Kickstarter. There's nothing new coming out of Kickstarter.
Like, yeah, it's
the only thing I've been excited by for Kickstarter is like a video games, like Bloodstained. I was like, hey, that looks really good.
Has there ever actually been a video game that's come out of Kickstarter that's come out and been good?
Well, it's not my style, but the several video games have delivered on exactly what people wanted. So, like, there's one, it's called Broken Age. and yeah. like it's a it was a point and click game, whatever. It released, and as far as I know, it released very late, but did deliver on what it said it was going to do as far as gameplay wise.
Yeah. So and people liked it.
I think so. I don't know. I didn't back it because it looked stupid. Pillars of Eternity?
Yeah.
Pillars of Eternity, that game is excellent, and that was a Kickstarter, and that game's very good.
Okay.
That's getting, like, perfect scores from a lot of, like, PC reviews. It's like, a lot of the video games for Kickstarter, it's a weird shift from board games, because in board games, it's the same companies using Kickstarter to just pre-sell their game to the public, yada, yada. There's like almost no startups in board games. In
video games, yeah.
Video gaming, it's old teams who want to continue to make games that they used to make in a style that they used to make, but can't anymore because of whatever.
Well, because of the market. You can't do it anymore.
But that's the thing. Yeah. The market wants those games because when they put them on Kickstarter, they make a fuck ton of money.
It's not necessarily the market is hard because it's not necessarily the market. It's the
companies.
It's a niche market. I mean, yes, they make a fuck ton of money, but it's because of this niche market. It just happens to be the video games is a gigantic market, so a niche part of a gigantic market is actually pretty profitable. So, but that's what companies like EA and all the other big ones, they don't look at those niche markets. They look at the market as a whole.
Well, yeah, I mean, they just want to release fucking more Call of Duty games and
Duty!
Print money.
Yeah.
Maddens and Call of Duties, but whatever. It's because they're teams that used to exist before they, like, got folded and bought out, etc.
Yeah.
Like, the guy who's making Bloodstained is Koji Igarashi, I think. I don't know. I probably fucked up his name, but
he's Japanese.
Everyone just calls him Iga, like, yeah. Everyone. And he made Castlevania Symphony of the Night and many Castlevania games. And as you know, Konami is shitting all over everything right now. So they'd obviously never release a Castlevania game because that's a good IP that they hold.
Yeah.
So
I'm very surprised that Konami still owns Castlevania and Nintendo didn't buy that up.
Yeah, that's
very strange to me.
Never did.
I mean, like, it's the same thing, like Mega Man. Like, how did Nintendo not steal
it? Well, it's Capcom's also refusing to make Mega Man games.
And, but so, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, it's so bizarre.
Same story. The guy who made Mega Man, Koji Inafune, he left and did a Kickstarter for Mighty No. 9. So there's a game called Mighty No. 9 that's coming out soon. That's basically...
That's been planned for a while, though.
It's actually, like, releasing soon.
Yeah.
It's Mega Man, but not Mega Man.
Yeah.
Bloodstained is not Castlevania. Yeah. So yeah. And like those games are exciting and they're making a bunch of money. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's fine, whatever. I'm not,
because these games don't. The thing is, most of these games, like in the older style, like if people want 2D games or like an isometric dungeon crawler, like in the cases of Pillars of Eternity, they're way cheaper to make than these AAA games. So that's the thing. I don't like. You could easily, as a giant game studio, allocate a tiny little budget and be like, here, make this game, and people will be like, oh, this is way more than enough money.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're not making $90 million fucking.
No, you're absolutely right, and people don't make that. But and they look at those as like smaller games. And
yeah.
So on. I mean,
But that's the opposite for Kickstarter, where like if board games are the same, it would be like the games that everyone wants would be on Kickstarter.
Well, yeah,
but it's not. It's zombie games.
The problem is that, well, it's a good segue for that. I mean, for talking about it, but like the people, like the classic game designers, like the great game designers,
are all dead.
Well, not that they're all dead, but
most of them are.
They're all still doing the same shtick that they've always done. I mean, people go to them all the time, and is that video game people are craving to go back to a time when video games were simpler, more challenging, or you know,
whatever.
Yeah, whatever have you. And the video game market is getting more generic. To like where everything is basically the ripoff of like three different types of games.
Mm.
The board game market is striving for something new, something that's going to break the mold, and that it's just not delivering there. So that's what I'm looking for in Kickstarter, something that's going to break the mold and be like fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I can't see. It's all cookie cutter zombie games for me.
Yeah, well, this, you know, like,
we'll see. We'll see if Kingdom Death ever actually reaches to my hands. We'll see if that's the game.
Yeah,
and if it is. That's the game from like 2 years ago. So, you know, that would be, you know,
yeah.
If it's the thing.
I mean, you look at, oh, here's Pillars of Eternity right here.
Yeah, it's a cool game. It's like Baldur's Gate or Icewind Dale.
Oh, this is a card game.
There's a Pillars of Eternity card game?
Yeah.
Oh,
Lords
cool.
of Eastern Reach card game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, look at that.
Hmm, neat.
Steve is. I haven't seen Steve like this in a while. Where he's just like, "What? What? All right, there you go."
Yeah, I didn't know that they made a card game, but yeah, it looks like it's probably based off the PC game. I would assume.
Well, yeah, guarantee. If it's a successful PC game, they're gonna port it.
It's from Obsidian. Those are the guys who made. They made Fallout New Vegas, and they used to work Black Isle Studios. Like they made all those isometric.
Well, that's the thing is like you have. What, Rick Priestley, Alessio Cavatori,
Well, Alessio's just, like, writing rule sets, isn't he? He's just, like, running around to different companies writing rule sets?
Yeah, pretty much, and just... Well, Alessio is, like, being, like, the biggest game whore I've ever seen. Like, he has, like, 8 new games come out. You know, they did Beyond the Gates of Antares.
Beyond the Gates of Antares, there's poop men and spaceships.
Yeah. They just have, like, that's just the most ridiculously overpriced game of all time, where it's just like, I don't want to play with any of these figures.
I don't think you truly appreciate the value of owning the Poopman.
The value of owning the Poopman. And then he just has, like, you know, on that end where you get lean more heavily towards the historical stuff, which I know you cannot stand, it all just goes down to, like, map-based Napoleon games, which I believe is the death of all tabletop gaming. As soon as you hear the name Napoleon added to anything, it's just like,
So by that token, if they release Napoleon Butt Action, you're going to have to leave?
Well, I mean, I would like a nice brigade-style game that's not Napoleon. It's just something that is interesting for a change.
I mean, you just said brigade-style game and interesting in the same sentence, so...
I know, it's difficult.
Ooh, It's like World War One. It's like, there's a reason most of the minis games are World War Two, because in World War One, you put your guys in trenches, they put their guys in trenches, and you just kind of roll dice.
Well, actually, Steve, if you know, there's a lot more dynamic operations on the Eastern Front.
Yeah, not really. Anyway, there was mustard gas. That's a thing.
I mean... World War I listen to a podcast called Hardcore History. It's very fun, and I would recommend it to anybody who listens to this podcast to take a listen to it. He just did a whole series on World War One. Seriously, when I listened to it, I got depressed. I was just like, this is super interesting, but I want to go drink. I got to go watch some, like, Amazing World of Gumball to make myself feel better after this. It was just like... And, like, everyone's always, like, after I introduce it to them, they're like, oh, man, I would love to play a World War One mini game. And I'm like, why? Didn't you listen to the podcast? It's just depressing.
There you go. You just get really sad. It's Werner Herzog's favorite genre.
Yeah, exactly.
I really love the World War One game.
Now your love is gone.
There's nothing but abject death on the battlefield. I play more of... An intermediary between the two players, I play death. Sweeping across the battlefield.
Just pushes your model over. You have lost.
We didn't even start the game.
It's like,
that's why you've already lost.
He's got, like, all the figures laid up. He just lays like a blanket of black over the table.
Now the game is over.
Night has fallen.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's like, I can't. World War II is fun, and it's fine.
Now, if you want to do a sweet miniatures game that's out of left field, you do an Island of Dr. Moreau, the Val Kilmer picture miniatures game.
So you have that fat, really would be out of left field.
You have a fat Marlon Brando and his, like, little clone, like, little mini guy, Marlon Brando.
Yeah. Wasn't that Vern Troyer?
No. He was the smallest man in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was very small. I think he's from India.
I'm gonna be a fat guy. I put the monsters together. I'm gonna make a walrus man. You ever seen a walrus man before?
One of the quotes from fucking about that movie was apparently Marlon Brando wanted to rewrite the script to where he would take his hat off and he'd have a fucking blowhole like a dolphin and he'd blow water out of it. Oh, man, that movie. What a disaster.
Marlon Brando, the patron saint of Steve of Game Classy.
I don't like Marlon Brando.
I know, but he's your patron saint regardless of the fact.
All right, fair enough.
Here's another.
I would say Orson Welles, but sure. I guess I could take Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I could see being more Orson Welles than Marlon Brando. Yeah. I mean, you're probably, it's like part of like a holy trinity.
Orson Welles is also in Transformers.
Yes.
John Candy. and then John Candy and Orson Welles, they kick out... Brando.
With the holy trinity of fat guys for you.
They kick him out.
Here's another game on Kickstarter right now. Bane.
I thought it said banjo, and I was like, eh, banjo. 3 days to go, 14,000 pledged out of 22,000. They're never going to make it.
I don't know, they might.
They're never going to make it. Not a fucking chance.
It's read the description for me.
From Ryan Yee. In the near distant future. Hang on. Let me get this.
Do your best Orson Welles in this one.
I can't. I mean, in the near distant future. I can't. Like,
you just have to do the brain from Pinky and the Brain.
I can't. I can't do that. I can't do the Orson Welles thing. It doesn't sound right. No. Like, because I'm just trying to do the impression of Orson Welles. I'm not trying.
My Orson Welles always ends up sounding like Peter Lorre, so I'm not good with that.
Yes. Excellent. You've done it. You've finally done it. And he just kind of sounds like Ren.
Reek, you have to hide me, Reek.
Yeah, he sounds like Ren from Ren and Stimpy. So,
that's what he was doing.
I think
it's Billy West.
Yeah. Well,
no, not Billy West.
It's John Kricfalusi.
Yeah,
and then Billy West when they stole John Kricfalusi's show out from under him, Nickelodeon things. But anyway, I think that actually, what the fuck's his name, Bolton should actually talk like Peter Lorre.
Roos?
No,
or Ramsey.
Ramsey. He should talk like Peter.
No,
Lorre.
I love Ramsey as is. Dude, wait, before we get into this for a second, how fucking awesome was that end of that last episode?
Awesome. It was like after the dragging of
the entire season.
Yeah, suddenly it was just like, this is the fucking best thing ever. Well, this is totally metal.
And people tend to forget, like, the entire first, like, half of that episode was shit. It was a shit episode. And I'm sitting there going, oh, this is boring. Holy fuck!
Yeah, it's like, you know what happened? It's like when you're doing something and suddenly, like, dudes just kick your door in and they all have a bunch of guitars and they're just like... like, oh shit, it just got metal in here.
It just got real metal real quick.
Alright. About this project.
Yes.
In the near or distant future, after years of war and famine, a global pandemic kills most of the world's population. Those that survive are transformed by the virus, unlocking a latent genetic code. Now the world is ruled by the three original species of planet Earth. Vampires,
blah,
werewolves, and superhumans.
Up, up, and away.
In Bane, players control the conflict between these supernatural forces. It is a game for 2 to 5 players and plays between 30 minutes and 1 hour.
It actually does not look like a bad game. I was looking through it.
It sounds like shit.
I know. It's like the worst tagline, like the worst like elevator pitch you've ever heard. But it's,
I mean, it would be a pretty great elevator pitch if it was a little, like, maybe, what, 10 years ago and the Underworld movies were still big?
Yeah, the World of Darkness, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
I was just reading a post on Reddit where it talked about what are your all-time, like, top 3 RPGs, and the amount of people who said World of Darkness made me real sad
for
humanity.
People fucking loved World of Darkness. Was fucking gigantic. That was a huge threat to Dungeons and Dragons.
I know, but I mean,
that's one of the reasons why 3rd edition came out when it did, because 3rd edition came out to counter the fact that World of Darkness was destroying all other RPGs in the marketplace.
Yeah, but the people who still say it, it boggles my mind. It mind boggles me.
Oh, they're terrible role playing systems, but I guess people are really nostalgic for them.
Well, you know, nostalgia. We talked about that on the website.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's like different. Yeah, there's different levels. I mean, like, I can play something and know that I'm like, this is bad, but I like it because it's nostalgic. But, like, I will say that this is bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is not good, but it's nostalgic to me, so I am playing it. You know, like, I don't have a good example, but there's a thing. You know, you can identify whether or not it's good, but, like, just blindly claiming it's good doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, first edition D&D, if you're playing...
People have a lot of fond memories of it, but it's not a good system.
Right, but if you're still playing it, you're probably playing a heavily modified first edition.
Yeah.
All of the things, like, your rule book is now this, like, tower of fucking reference sheets because you've changed so much. It's not even the same game anymore. But you're still technically playing Dungeons & Dragons first edition. I can't talk. I'm going to grab my coffee. But yeah, so that's the thing. But like White Wolf, there's no redeeming qualities to that system other than if you were super goth in your youth.
Well, yeah, duh. And we live through the era of the goth gamer. I mean, like, shit, it was fucking awful. most of the 90s were a terrible, terrible time. I keep telling people that. I was I've been reading this book, Ready Player One. Have you seen it?
I own it, actually.
Did you read it?
I have not yet.
It's not a bad book. The problem is that it really, really, really paints the 80s as like this great era for nostalgia.
Well, do you know anything about that guy who wrote it?
I mean, no more than like what I've read.
Oh, okay. There's a documentary on Netflix called Atari Game Over about
is that him on there?
The dump site. He's in that documentary.
Yeah.
That motherfucker has the Marty McFly jacket. He owns a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, that dude is living 80s nostalgia.
Well, that yeah, but my whole thing is that like you do that. It's like, I was talking about this with my wife because she read the book too, and I'm just reading it now, and she was talking about like how come he lives in the 80s, and I go, I think it's just because stuff from the 80s is a little more authentic in its weirdness, and
it's just cooler than the 90s stuff.
Yeah, and 90s,
most of the 90s stuff's bad.
The 90s just felt plasticky and unreal. It didn't feel like, it felt like everything was planned for you.
For me, it seems, for I would say the 90s, and in all aspects, gaming too, tabletop too, just I think the 90s is a transitioning decade. Yeah. Like, because you have the PlayStation, you have the N64. Those consoles are bad. Like,
most
of their games are fucking shit. Like, Mario 64, that's a terrible game. The Zeldas on N64, terrible games. People only like them because they're nostalgic for them.
Well, yeah. Well, and also but, Nintendo.
But Mario Kart is a good game on N64.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I like the original Mario Kart.
I mean,
Kart.
It's a good game, though. Like,
oh,
it's,
yeah, it's fine.
But N64 is like
all the wrestling games on N64.
I think N64 is a terrible console. I think PlayStation 1 is a terrible console. But the better games on both consoles are ones that are more like the previous generation. So, like, yeah. On PlayStation 1, one of its best games, bringing it back, Castlevania
Symphony of the Night. Yeah.
It's a fantastic game. But it looks, you know, the original 3D stuff, it's all awkward and, like, you know,
you know what game I loved on the original PlayStation? Time Crisis. With
Time
the lasers
Crisis with the guns.
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. Played the shit out of that game.
But, you know, but you look at it now, that game looks terrible.
Oh, it's
like,
awful.
You can't even see anything. So, and that's what it is. But
I love playing that at the Ghost, though.
But yeah. But it's just like that with tabletop. You know, you have the birth of the CCG in the 90s. And then because of the birth of the CCG, you have the flood of card games into the market. So, you know, I think there were probably at any moment during like from like 93 to 98, probably 25 card games in print at some point.
Oh, yeah.
So you have that. And then you have D&D becoming graduating from TSR and like a lovingly like handcrafted game into a machined corporate.
This is
D&D. This is how you play it. Challenge ratings.
Yeah.
Because I hate fucking CR. I'm glad they're not like. But the thing that bothers me about CR and stuff is people are so used to like just being spoon fed how to like run their game.
Yeah.
So
what's CR?
Challenge rating.
Okay.
So it's.
Yeah. I knew challenge rating. I didn't know what you meant talking about by CR.
It doesn't work because there's no real way to adequately judge some abilities.
Yeah.
Especially versus your group. So you'll send this monster is CR4, and you're like, well, you know, my party's level 6, so I'll just send like 3 of these at them because, you know, a quick filler fight. Turns out your party's really vulnerable to like the paralysis that these guys have, and suddenly you're like, I just accidentally killed the party with CR4 monsters. What the fuck?
What did I do?
Yeah. So
oh, God.
That's not an adequate way to do a challenge. You know, it just doesn't work.
Well, I mean, it's more of, you know, I don't mind third edition as much. I like third. 3.5 is where I got a little not as happy with it.
Third and 3.5 are really fucking similar. Almost the same game. But for me, that's where the combos started. Where like it was more about it became more about the game, less about the real game, which was supposed to be role playing.
Yeah, I mean, like third edition, I got as weird as it sounds, I don't think there was enough released for third edition and 3.5. Like there was stuff released, but I mean,
no, 3.5 had the largest amount of books.
Yeah.
Period.
But there's, I mean, like 3, I don't think there was enough for me.
3, well, there was like a weird little transition. Like 3, like when 3's library was just about to get really big.
Yeah,
it went to 3.5.
Yeah, and then the 4th edition was just awful. But it was Wizards of the Coast, and Wizards of the Coast buys it, and then, you know, Wizards of the Coast becomes part of Hasbro subsidiary. Yes.
Yeah, they,
and then Hasbro's like, what do we do with this? Who cares?
Make We're it making money. Make it World of Warcraft. So they made it even more of a game.
So many good games came out of the 90s, man. So many good, like...
There's not as many because I'm in the transitioning thing into, like, the new. The world was becoming the new. The 80s... They did what they had, and it was done.
Well, you think about it like this: is that the '90s had what you were saying earlier? The games of the '90s that came out that were more like the '80s were the best.
Right.
The games that were more like what happened
pushing
to the future.
It
was awful,
but necessary to create
what we have now. I mean, you think about the West End Star Wars game, fucking fantastic, but it was so much more like Dungeons and Dragons than anything in the future. Mm-hmm. Or any of those, like World of Darkness was a lot like the stuff that you would have in the early 2000s, and people love that shit.
Yep. Yeah, I see games like Numenera and some of the other like Fate.
Yeah,
and those are like that's the legacy of White Wolf to me.
Yeah,
those are the games that are the legacy of White Wolf.
I could kind of see that a little bit.
It's just because those are what covers like. What you'd want in your White Wolf games, because you're like, oh, yeah, Exalted, this is sweet, we're super powerful, and that, that's the future thing, so that's Numenera, might have the same draw. It's for people who, it was the anti-dungeon crawl was what they were about, and a lot of those new games, like Fate and Numenera and stuff, they're the anti-dungeon crawl games.
Yeah, I always thought World of Darkness was more about,
Well, it's not just World of Darkness. The reason I say White Wolf is because they had the World of Darkness games, but they also made the very popular Exalted.
Yeah.
Which is like a weird not World of Darkness game.
Yeah.
And that one's kind of anime-ish.
Yeah.
I was super excited to play that game. I was like, man, this is going to be sweet. And we were talking, the person who was going to run the game was explaining how we're super powerful and it's going to be a Wuxia movie, Crouching Tiger or some shit. And I was like, all right, sir, that sounds cool. And we were ambushed by 20 guards with spears, and I'm like, well, I'm a super god thing, so I'm just gonna fight them. Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? And they killed me.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh, I got killed by guards. Really powerful things, these Exalted. So I was like, I'm gonna take my dice. See ya. He's like, you can make a new character, and I'm like, no, fuck you. You blatantly lied to me what this game is.
You blatantly lied to me, you awful human being.
Yeah,
you.
What the fuck's wrong with you? You're basically a god. The only thing that can really challenge you are other Exalted. And it's like, oh, okay. So when the 20 spearmen show up, I'm like, I'll just beat their asses. No, they stab you to death.
Yeah.
I see. It'd be like if Sauron showed up and fucking Bilbo just pushed him over and he just fell. And he's like, oh, my knee. Oh, I really, I scraped it.
Oh.
My knee, it hurts so bad. And they just fucking take the ring and he's like, oh, my ring. Come on, the thing was cool. Oh, yeah. It had glowy fire. Oh, my knee, though. It's really bad.
Yeah, well, for me, the World of Darkness stuff was always, to me, just seemed like people standing around talking about politics.
Oh, there's that. There's the eyeliner and smoking.
Yeah, I mean, it was are you guys ever going to go out and, fight some...
Wait, we need to go with the coterie to go and discuss the prince's terms for keeping them in the city.
Yeah, exactly. Shit like that. And I'm like, all right.
That's the thing. The idea of World of Darkness is very, very much cooler than the application.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'm a huge fucking werewolf. I get to kill things.
role-playing a heroic character, like a swordsman, a paladin, you can, put yourself into that and be like, in my opinion, it's super easy.
Yeah.
But actually, legitimately role-playing something that's, 10,000 years old.
Wah!
Yeah, other than just going blah.
One, two, three.
One of the reasons people aren't immortal was, you'd get bored.
I don't think I'd get bored. I just masturbate all the time.
Yeah, yeah. But what if you disintegrated?
Ah!
you're just fapping it at both your hand and your Johnson disintegrate. But you're still immortal.
Damn it. Oh, cruel fate.
That was everything's destroyed. It's a nuclear winter. You look down, your hands, you're like, oh, yeah, baby.
No,
it's going to happen. Your hands fly off. You're like, no, there was time now.
There was time. You just took an excellent episode of Twilight Zone and made it terrible.
I made it about jerking off.
I made it about jerking off. No, it'd be... just not enough lube.
It was time now. I love the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Another game on Kickstarter. Secrets of the Third Reich. Part 2, the weird World War II miniatures game.
Oh, FYI, side note, back about the World of Darkness stuff. Those books are worth a lot of money.
Are they really?
Yeah, if you have the old stuff, the White Wolf books, they're in demand.
The old stuff or like...
The old stuff, not the new World of Darkness where they shit all over their game. And but even like the most diehard White Wolf fans left.
Yeah. Here you go, if you want to take a look at it. It's West End Minis is redoing their Weird War II game. The game is actually pretty bad. I'll just be honest with you. The game is not that great. I don't know. They're doing a new edition, I guess. So hopefully it's a little better. It's a little smoother.
You're buying this for the minis, right? Is that what everyone else is doing?
No, because the minis all exist already. It's not like these are new. They might do some new sculpts, but all the minis already exist.
I mean, and when you can have sweet ass models like that,
I know they're some of them are fucking terrible.
Yeah, that Cerberus is wow. That looks like a fucking Blood Bowl miniature. That's not a compliment.
No, it's not. I mean, some of the minis are okay. I mean, they're not. they're okay minis. I mean, I'm not a big fan of West Wind stuff to begin with. They did Empire of the Dead. If you remember that one, it's the Victorian, you know, steampunky type game.
Yeah, I try to stay away from zombies, and I try to stay away from steampunk. So
it's physically impossible to stay away, to be out of gaming and stay away from zombies right now. I mean, shit, on the Facebook page they like,
it can. I'm playing Splendor.
Splendor. Oh, Splendor. Yeah. I'm making jewels.
Yes. We are jewel crafting.
Blah. And then, bringing it back to World of Darkness.
Vampires. Then there's... Betrayal at House on the Hill is the farthest I'll get for like a horror game. And like that game's got a lot going on.
I don't mind like undead stuff, you know, in my RPG stuff.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, undead are sweet. I think undead are awesome. I played if I play a miniatures game system, I gravitate towards the undead. Yeah. Always. Mm-hmm. They're very cool. But fucking zombies, man. Cut it out.
Fucking zombies, man.
Cut it out.
Here we go. That's what I was looking for. I wish I was better prepared for today.
Do you want Zombicide 27? This is how you get Zombicide 27.
Is that started yet?
No, I think they're still on 26.
No, I mean, is the Kickstarter started for the new for Black Plague or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I said it's probably. I don't fucking know.
Oh God. Oh yeah, Salamander's book that came out. That are coming out. The glorious 160 page codex for Space Marine Salamanders.
That's yeah.
You know how much that costs? Probably $160.
I think it's 90.
90?
Yeah.
God damn it.
I think it's 90.
Oh yeah. Shit. Let's see. I'm glad I have some notes.
I mean, I guess Workshop shitting all over itself so hard has just really opened the doors for other miniatures companies, I guess, at this point.
Reaper Bones, the new Bones coming out.
More Bones. Bones, this will be Bones 3.
Will you once again buy into Bones and then sell everything the second you get it?
I will not. I will not.
That's happened like twice now, hasn't it?
No, I only did the first Bones.
Yeah.
I did not do the second Bones.
Yeah.
But I mean, I ended up profiting off my Bones.
Well, you get a shit ton of stuff.
Yeah. And that actually...
And it all gets delivered, like, on time.
That's what defeated me. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do all this stuff. And then once I saw how much shit I got, I was like, oh my God, I got to sell these models. These are never going to get painted.
Ooh, the Mantic the Name the Box contest.
Yeah, and I think if I was doing... You know what? The thing, if I was DMing actively...
Yeah.
Or if I was a convention DM... The bone stuff, I would have never sold it. I'd have filed it all away because, like, you don't have to paint it for it to work.
No.
So you just fucking, you're like, oh, I already need to run Elemental Evil. And you just go in your bones thing and you're like, fire elemental, earth elemental, gnolls, orc, troll, half orc, goblin. Just fucking throw it in your bag. Boom. You're done. You're ready to go.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, if it was me, I would just buy the Temple of Elemental Evil dungeon crawl box set and use all those minis because they're already pre-made for you right there.
I mean, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
You know, just having it ready, like, good to go, like, miniatures, because it's hard to find cheap miniatures Like, they have, like, there's the WizKids pre-paints for, not talking about quality, but, like, in terms of options, there's the WizKids pre-paints for D&D and for Pathfinder. Yes. There's two. But those are not cheap. Those are pricey. They're, like...
No, they're real expensive.
$14 or $15 a booster, and you get four guys or six guys in there. You know, that's not value.
Yeah,
although the new set for Pathfinder is called the Rusty Dragon Inn. It's the fucking coolest thing ever.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's so the entire booster set is based on a tavern, an inn. So
yeah.
There's all sorts of things you would find in a tavern. So there's going to be tables, chairs, there's like waitresses, there's adventuring, and there's like dudes drinking and stuff. And then the case incentive, if you buy a full case, is a bar. And it's a giant, like, bar with, you know, space behind it so you can have a fight in a tavern. It's the first one of those things where I'm kind of like, this is probably something that most miniatures players should buy. Like, it's really fucking
cool.
Yeah,
but how much does a case cost?
I don't know. That's the thing. I know the case incentive from my end. I don't know what it's going to be on the retail end. But a case is a lot. Like, if they're going to make you buy the case to get the, like...
to get the bar, yeah.
It'll be a... Yeah, that's a lot.
Is this like a... What is this made out of?
What is it?
That's a papercraft model. I was just looking to see if there was like a picture of the bar.
There should be.
Oh, wow, that thing is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The Rusty Dragon Inn. It's fucking sweet.
Wow, yeah. Some of these figures are nice. Too bad they will not be painted to the level of which they are portrayed right here. But... Yeah,
it's the first one of those blind box things where I'm like,
holy
no,
crap,
that's
actually a really cool idea.
Yeah, I told you. I was like, how did people not think of this sooner? Like, the D&D pre-paint plastics have been around for a long fucking time. And I was like, how did no one ever think of this?
I mean, well, that actually makes sense because, like, name one campaign you've ever been in that hasn't gone to a tavern at one point.
Oh, yeah, you always hit the tavern at some point because it makes them, like, in every sense, it makes... the most sense, because like you're in a fucking town.
Shit, it'd be like Dragon Age 2. Every inn you go into looks exactly the same now.
It's like
Dragon Age 2 references.
Dragon Age, it's terrible.
I'm hoping to pick up 3 on the Steam sale.
They took a decent throwback game of the first and then shit all over it with the second. And and of course it's BioWare, so I will not buy anything they produce.
Yeah.
Boycott. I boycott.
Man, you're just like a regular BioWare Tumblrina.
What?
Steve got very offended all of a sudden.
I know. It was more flabbergast.
Flabbergast.
I don't think the words you used, I don't think they mean what you think they mean.
Every time you see BioWare, you get triggered.
I mean, there's like... That's just a thing about like internet culture lately, I guess, or maybe it's always been that way. But what my point is this: so like, example, Konami is shitting all over itself, right? Mm-hmm. They fired Hideo Kojima, who pretty much was their video games department. They removed his name from Metal Gear Solid: The Phantom Pain, and then they canceled Silent Hills, which was looking great with fucking, you know, Hideo Kojima, Norman Reedus, and Guillermo del Toro all working together on that game, and. My response to that is I go, well, fuck Konami. I'm not buying any other Konami games. You know, I'm boycotting Konami. Done. But that's a boycott. Like, I'm not doing it, and I won't. Mm-hmm. And I did the same thing with BioWare. I'm like, I am not buying another BioWare game, and I haven't, and I won't. But when most people use the term boycott, they don't use it in the way that it means. So, example, with the Konami specifically, I saw many, many people going like, fuck you, Konami, you're the fucking worst company ever. I'm not buying anything from you after Phantom Pain. And it's like, so you're still going to buy the Phantom Pain. So they're still going to get your money. You're not actually like, the only power you have as a consumer is to speak with your wallet. That's all you have. And it's not much power. So... if you choose not to buy something, that's the only way of sending a message to anyone. And, like, unless a whole bunch of people do it with you.
To quote Rush, if you choose not to choose, you still have made a choice.
The fuck?
I think it's from I don't remember what song it's from.
All right.
I was listening to Rush the other day.
Yeah, I'll say this is that's the second time you brought up Rush.
I listen to a lot of Rush, man.
I got my all Rush mixtape, my 2-liter bottle of Shasta.
21-12.
Today's
man.
Tom Sawyer and my onion. Goodbye on you.
Put on my headphones, listen to some Rush, play some fucking Zaxxon. Fucking rocking out, drinking some Diet Right.
Rush always reminds
white grape
me of
soda.
D&D, like doing D&D. That's
really?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Rush was frequently played in my D&D group.
Okay. I do not equate either of them, but it'd be fun.
That's why it, you know, they would be like Rush, and then like I'd make them turn off the Led Zeppelin, but always someone always wanted to put on Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking turn that off. They're terrible.
Says the one man.
I hate music, so
yeah,
it's not a
couple other things before we get to the end here. The Mantic Name the Box set. Steve, what is your entry for the Mantic Name the Box?
I think I put it up there. I think it's cheaper than Warhammer.
Cheaper than Warhammer. There you go.
Except the Warhammer's really big, and the cheaper than is much smaller.
Star Realms new card game. The guy from Star Realms doing a fantasy card game.
That's not actually a new card game.
No.
It's called Epic. It was released in 2008 as a non-CCG CCG. Came in booster packs. It's a good game. The concept of that game is cards are worth 0 or 1 point. You get 1 point a turn to spend, and you can play one card a turn. And the cards are all super fucking broken.
Nice.
So it's, you know, it's like vintage Magic, where like both of you are just playing, like you're just throwing nukes. You're like nuke.
And is that good or bad?
I mean, I'm sure it'll be good.
I'm sure it'll be good.
Like, and they would have to phenomenally fuck up to not have it work out well as a boxed game how they've planned it.
Oh, it's a box game as opposed
yes.
to oh, okay, that's nice. Like, yeah. Well, I like Star Realms. I have the card game. I think it's fun.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about Star Realms is like it's very, very luck based.
Yeah. The only thing I feel like after playing a couple games of Star Realms with the cards, I was like, I really wish this was better multiplayer.
It's a solitaire game.
Yeah.
Like you're playing solitaire with a friend.
Yeah, I kind of wish it was more interactive. That like
none.
I know. Ooh, Z War 1.
And I think that's probably where a lot of the
dude Z War 1 got canceled.
Oh no, not Z War 1. I'm looking forward to it.
Why did it get canceled?
Epic should be good. Epic will be a better version of Star Realms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's also not a deck building game. That's another thing too. You get a deck and you play. So, there's that. Unless they've changed it drastically.
Oh, they just canceled it today.
Z1?
Yeah.
No, not Z1.
Z War 1.
I was looking forward to that. Oh, no. I blame The Walking Dead for the zombie boom.
Oh, wow. This is crazy. Why? He doesn't say why it was canceled, though.
They usually don't.
Probably because he was like, oh, shit, I actually got to do shit.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time when Kickstarters are canceled, they don't say why. Sometimes they do. Like, I remember there was one that was trending to do a lot of money, and then they canceled it because it got bought by a game company.
Oh.
It was like, they were like, yeah, we're not doing the Kickstarter anymore because this game company bought it. So it's like, oh, okay.
Nice. Well, that actually makes sense then. Like, if someone bought it, they'd be yeah. like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it'd be like, they're gonna release it, so.
They'll probably do a better job.
Taking the money. See ya.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. Yoink. It's just, that's, you take the money and run.
Yeah. Zombies, yes, it's Walking Dead. It's the most popular show on TV. Of course it's going to do.
I don't know how it's more popular than Game of Thrones.
It's because
like, the most boring Game of Thrones episode is better than most episodes of The Walking Dead.
It's because Walking Dead is free if you have cable.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In Game of Thrones, you have to pay extra for.
That makes sense.
Except now that you can get HBO for free. Not for free, but you could just pay for HBO separately and not have to have cable. It would actually make more sense.
We'll
but,
see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know. I got to do that this summer. That's like my next thing is to like really break down everything and have to get rid of my cable package. I really
your cable package.
I gotta do it. I'm so tired of fucking cable right now. But I gotta set everything up. I gotta get the goddamn Sling. I gotta set up all. I have to get Hulu Plus and HBO Now, and I already have Netflix, so that's not a big issue. And I have to get all my TVs set up so that they can get all this shit. And it's just a big pain in my ass.
Hashtag
First world problems. Hashtag Joe world problems. I'm so mad I fucking forgot those boxes at home. That would have took up like a good 10 minutes of fucking podcast
you
from
blew
us.
It.
I know I did. Fuck. God damn it. I blame you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sure
it was my fault.
Oh, well. All right. Well, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page, /GameClassy. You could also, Steve is running away right now with his pants around his ankles. You could also like the sister podcast. You could like
YouTube.
What?
YouTube.
Yeah, I got to do all that stuff. Like our sister podcast, you could listen to Play On podcast. We talk about all about video games. I'm not on that one. Neither is Steve, but that's Pat B. Hetero life made of Steve, Pat B. And you can also listen to Comic Book Logic.
I also call him Hat B.
Hat B, because he wears the hat all the time.
He always has that hat on.
He always has.
It's a good look, though. Yeah. He's got a good look.
One day he's going to go completely bald, and we'll never know.
Or he's already completely bald,
and
we just
don't
know.
That's true. No, I was at a wedding yesterday. He didn't have a hat on at the wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very good.
You can also listen to Comic Book Logic, where we dissect comic book movies. We're going through the Marvel movie universe right now. It's myself and Kevin of Planet.
Have you done Captain America 2 yet?
No, that's coming up.
That movie's real good.
It is real good. We got Avengers is coming out next week. Then we got Iron Man 3, Thor 2, and then Captain America 2.
I like Thor 2.
Did you like Thor 2?
I've liked all the Marvel movies. So.
Mm. Oh, Thor 1 was just terrible.
Mm. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a good way to do Thor, but
You know what? Originally, I thought the same way, but then when I looked at it, like from the perspective of watching an actual movie, like I'm not talking like,
but it's a comic book movie.
But comic book movies can be good. We talk like Iron Man is fucking fantastic. Iron Man 2 is actually really good. Avengers is really good.
Whiplash.
Yeah. Aside from Whiplash, it's Iron Man 2 is much better than I thought Whiplash. It was. It's like, let's get this one guy who has absolutely no Russian to be a Russian. But then you have, you know,
I liked Thor, but whatever.
Yeah, but then you have
fucking throws the glass down.
Well, that's there's moments that
I think the biggest issue I had with Thor, the first one is the lost your powers trope. Like that's pretty rough to do in your first movie.
For me, it was, hey, look, here's 30 characters that we're putting on screen and giving them all screen time. Like, they're not just, like, background characters with one or two lines. They're, like, they're relatively important to the plot. There is literally 8 main characters in that movie, and it's none of them are treated properly. The directing is shit in that movie. It's awful. I'm just saying.
I mean, it's not the best, no. But... I've liked all of the MCU movies.
Yeah. I mean, I liked them.
I mean, they're certainly better than fucking comic books.
It's not like I ever went in and was like, I ever left a Marvel movie and went, this movie's shit. I never did that.
Might be coming up with Ant-Man.
Might. I don't know. It's
the opportunity's there.
I like Paul Rudd.
The trailer looked. I was completely like, eh, fuck it, Ant-Man, that's stupid. And I saw the trailer where the fucking dude is like in panic and the tiny little train hits him and just kind of like listfully falls off the track. I was like, all right, I want to see this.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like I think it could work.
Yeah, it's got a shot. But if there's going to be a Marvel movie that totally just shits the bed, it'll be Ant-Man.
Yeah. Right now, yes.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little more worried about Doctor Strange right
with
now.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes,
Benedict Cumberbatch. You should just do more Sherlock. So
yeah,
fucking stop acting in Marvel movies. Do more Sherlock, or be more Khan.
No, that was terrible. That was the worst movie known to mankind. Star Trek Into Darkness. It was so bad on every level of bad.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was fine, but like it was like a weird, like I enjoyed it. But I think the fact that the original Wrath of Khan exists makes it far worse.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it was they took everything that was great about Wrath of Khan and about all the Star Trek stuff that they referenced in that movie and just reference, and they didn't do any of the stuff that made the reference great. For example, why was Spock's sacrifice at the end of Star Trek 2 so fucking good? Why was it so fucking good, Steve?
Well, yeah, obviously.
Well, but why was it good?
I mean... It made sense.
Well, that's not even that, but there was a history behind it.
Oh, sure.
Like the fact that
he's mentioned that before, that he would go down to save the ship
Yeah, well, I mean, not even that, but it's like you knew that there was a friendship between Kirk and Spock. Even if you didn't know nothing about Star Trek, you knew about the relationship. They were bros. From just Star Trek 2, you knew that. But in Star Trek Into Darkness, it's like Kirk sacrifices himself, and it's like, why would Spock even care? They don't even like each other in these movies. And then it's like, oh, we just use Khan's blood, and he's better. What? So now this is a miracle blood cure? The fucking Star Trek universe? This is the dumbest shit ever.
To be fair, majority of Star Trek movies in general are all bad.
No, they're not.
I disagree. Dude, fucking whales.
Dude, the whales were awesome.
Space whales.
They weren't space whales.
Space whales.
They were regular whales.
Yeah, but yeah. They could have been space whales.
Well, yeah, if they were space whales, that might have been better.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Star Trek movies are bad. But like, and they're bad because of...
Well, I will say... I like all of the original Star Trek movies. Even though 5 is people will shit on 5 a lot, I think it's still better than any Next Generation movie, including
First Contact.
First
Contact's really good.
Yeah, but First Contact has its issues.
The biggest problem with with all the Star Trek movies, and less so in the original ones, but like Next Generation stuff, is for some reason, like, the studio really wanted if it was from the TV series, verboten.
Yeah.
Like, you can't reference that. You can't reference it. You can't use it, which is ridiculous because, like,
it was just the way Hollywood was done back then.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, where the fuck is Q? Q is in 0 Star Trek movies.
Yeah. It's what's his face? It's Rick Berman. Rick Berman was the worst thing that happened to Star Trek of all time. I mean, I talked about this, I think, on the last podcast with Will Wheaton, where he's talking about where he talks about how shitty Rick Berman was to everyone. And, like, he thought it was just him, and then everyone was saying, like, no, Rick Berman was a shit to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, everyone should be a shit to Will Wheaton. But
he does the audiobook version of Ready Player One.
God damn it. I fucking hate Will Wheaton, man. I want to just his fucking smarmy punch me face. He has a fucking smarmy punch me face. Like, that's the only way you can explain Will Wheaton. It's just like, fuck.
Yeah, you're the only person I know who actually, if you met Will Wheaton, would yell out Wesley at him.
I'd just be like, fuck off. Fuck you, Wheaton.
You're like, shut up, Wesley.
Shut it, Crusher.
Oh, God. Anyway,
I told Steve Jackson his game sucks.
But not all Steve Jackson games suck.
Most of them do. I told him Munchkin sucked. I was like, oh, Munchkin. Yeah, that game sucks.
Did you ever think about the end game on Munchkin? You didn't think that one through,
no,
did you?
The end game is more fucking tie-ins.
Yeah. Well, like, no, I mean, like, the end game of the actual game of Munchkin.
No, that doesn't matter. The end game is how many tie-ins they can have.
Yeah.
And then AEG's got their own Munchkin in the form of Love Letter.
Yeah.
Because now there's a fucking Love Letter everything.
Yeah. Oh, and Love Letter's fine. It's just not that great of a game.
I mean, Munchkin is probably the worst game ever made.
No, oh, I wouldn't go that far.
I would. No. I did. You name me a card game worse than Munchkin.
A card game worse than
Munchkin?
Well,
I mean, you have to compare it. You know, like, you can't be like, Munchkin's worse than Warhammer 40,000, because they're not the same.
Yeah.
A boxed card game, so, like, that kind of thing.
I try to stay away from bad card games, so it's kind of hard for me to make that comparison. I mean, Munchkin a bunch.
You wouldn't know.
I played Munchkin.
This will be fun, but it's not.
Because
it's Munchkin. You sit down, you think you're going to have a good time playing a card game, and then it's Munchkin.
Well, no, the only problem I've ever had with Munchkin, when playing it with a group of people, is the people who take fucking forever on their turn deciding what you're going to do. It's like, no, you go to a room, you bust in the door, you beat the monster, and then you take your loot and it goes to the next fucking player. Don't take fucking forever figuring out what you're going to fucking do.
You don't have options in that game.
Exactly.
You just do it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, go to our YouTube page.
that's like fucking playing craps and going like, geez, should I roll the dice? I don't know.
You'd be surprised.
I wouldn't be.
You wouldn't be?
I wouldn't be.
Go to YouTube.com for listening to the podcast on YouTube form, I guess. I don't know. I think there's more subscribers to our YouTube page than our Facebook page right now. So
maybe. That one YouTube video has like 4,000 views.
It does.
You really should fucking do clickbait, man. But you know what? That was interesting because now, I always thought clickbait was just, you know, people are like, nobody clicks on that because clickbait. Turns out.
Well, that's why it's called clickbait.
It fucking works.
No shit. Yeah, so Yeah, go to our YouTube page. Listen there. You can also like our Reddit page, our Game Classy for updates, things like that. It's a fun little page. Like nothing crazy going
on. Joe's on there. I'm not.
Yeah, I like Reddit. I use Reddit quite a bit. So aside from that, is there anything else that I'm missing?
I don't know. Amiibo?
Gin statues? Did you get your Splatoon amiibos?
Were
you the one? Did you steal them? Were you the thief?
I stole the game truck. I have all the Splatoon amiibos.
Was it like Heat? Was it you and Kevin Heat. And like
Pat.
And Pat?
Pat was the driver.
Fucking wearing like the like president's mask like in Point Break. Just like...
Yep, and at some point I fell down to the ground and I shot a gun in the air and I went, ah!
A paintball gun because it's Splatoon.
Yes, exactly.
Oh God, you guys are literally awful human beings with a fucking Splatoon.
What?
With amiibos. I'm sorry, not Splatoon.
You can't talk from the ground of superiority for collectibles because again, you own historical models.
That's like, true.
It's the worst.
The worst.
It's just the worst. It's the worst thing. Like if you had child pornography, I'd be like, well, at least it's not historical models. Like, this is bad. You're going to jail. Oh, but
man. I spent so much money this weekend because it's the anniversary of D-Day, so all historical manufacturers sell everything at like super cut rate prices.
God damn it!
I know. It's so good. Hey, it's, man, when
it's not good.
Fucking Game Classy. When I start the mini business for Game Classy, it's going to be historical models. How's that make you feel, Steve?
I'm okay because it'll never happen.
Because it'll never happen.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, I'll be fine with that. All right, so
I'll just be fine with that.
So Steve,
I'll be like, I'm going to go punch the Empire State Building. Are you okay with that?
So Steve, until next time. It's fucking again.
Game Classy.